Welcome to episode 26 of Green Legion Radio's Ice to Shorts Winter Sports, brought to you by Bud Light. Hello to everyone watching on Facebook Live, YouTube, the Twitter feed. If you're listening on the playback, whether you're on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, what's going on? This is Diaz with the Green Legion and my partner in crime, Reggie Sactorisk / Big Time. Chris Sack, the Sackmaster. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Hey, just a couple quick hits here real fast. Bud Light Baseball Brunch. We're coming up here. We have our last couple weeks down at the casino, at Philly Live Casino with Sports and Social. Been an awesome few weeks down there. Coming up on May 23rd, we're going to have the Bud Light Baseball Brunch tailgate out there at 1100 Social. So make sure you guys are down there, 11th and Patterson and Xfinity Live when they open back up. It's going to be a great time. Hopefully we have beautiful weather and hope to get to see all of you out there as well. And also on top of that, Diaz, dropping on Wednesday is the next edition of my partner, Greg Murphy, his podcast, Glove Stories. And today we recorded a segment to where I am dropping in to talk about the 2021 Phillies. So make sure that you guys check that out by subscribing to the Glove Stories as well and supporting Murph and his podcast too.
I got to say, I want to ask about Baseball Brunch in a second here after we get through some of our fine sponsors. But Baseball Brunch has been killing it in the replay game on the podcast app. So I'll tell you, doing very well. Only three episodes in. I don't know the iHeart numbers, but we'll have to ask / well, the Goblin.
Yeah, we just had our fourth episode, but third of the regular season, but we had our preseason show too. So this week will be episode 5, and I'll start getting paid again after that.
Well, let's run through this. Of course, Green Legion Radio, all the shows of Green Legion Radio are brought to you by the fine folks at Bud Light. Of course, Stateside Vodka and Stateside Bourbon out there in, is it Fishtown, I guess, or Kensington? I'm not sure exactly what it's
considered. Let's just say Fishtown because Fishtown. Nothing in Kensington is good.
Okay. And then your buddies over there at Menzinger Construction Services. I know I was listening to your show. They had a live read. They support the shows. That's great. All the City Fitness locations throughout the city. If you live across in Saks, neck of the woods, Echelon Health and Fitness, Cavs Rittenhouse, Cavs University City, Cavs Riverdeck will be open soon. If it's not open already, I
can't wait to go there after our recordings again. It's so much fun down there. It's beautiful. You got the view of the Ben Franklin Bridge, and the service is great too. So you guys got to make sure you get down there and hang out with us.
Yeah, the restrictions are lifting. We don't have to wear masks when we're outside for fully vaccinated people. They're still going to have the social distancing there. That's going to be good news.
My question is, how are you supposed to tell who is vaccinated and who is not?
I don't know. We'll get that. We'll have to talk about that some other time. But continuing on here, our friends at Chickies and Pete's South Philadelphia. Chickies and Pete's Wednesday. Today is Tuesday the 27th. We're recording this Wednesday the 28th, Thursday the 29th. Chickies and Pete's Higher Palooza. Walk into any Chickies and Pete's over those 2 days between 11 a.m. and close. They've got hundreds of positions open. I think they'll give you a free drink, free crab fries while you're there interviewing. If they hire you on the spot, they're giving you a $200 hiring bonus. All these places are looking to open. They need the staff back. So if you're looking for full-time, part-time position, front of the house, back of the house, Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia, or wherever your closest Chickies and Pete's is hiring, be sure you check them out. Of course, our friends Next Sip, the safest way to drink hands-free. And of course, the lovely ladies at Delilah's, now open. As Quimby would say, they're paying their way through med school and law school, so help support them. Real quick about Baseball Brunch, though. I'm looking at these at the replays and the download numbers, and it's more than just me. I'll say that. You guys are doing well. It's good to have Murph on there, someone that's just not like blindly apologistic to the team. But about the shows here, now better than I, of course. They've been on the road the last two Sundays. Do they come home this weekend? Will they be at home?
Well, no, they were home last Sunday.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, so they were on at 105 against the Cardinals that day. That's when Aaron Nola threw his first nine-inning complete game shutout of his career. So it was interesting because we got off the air at 11:57 and Murph had the bounce. He had a car waiting for him outside of the casino.
Big time.
Well, you know, listen, Murph said that he could make it over there quickly if he walked, but he's like, I'm not the type of person where I don't want to stiff arm the fans. He's like, and those fans will just keep on trying to stop and talk to me, and I don't want to be that guy. So he needs to be in the booth by 12:15 because he's doing the pre and post game shows right now, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. This past Sunday, yeah, they were on the road. They were in Colorado. Wasn't a good game. But this upcoming Sunday, they're on Sunday Night Baseball at 7 o'clock. They're playing the Mets this upcoming weekend. So that should be fun, which means Murph can hang around for a little bit afterwards. But also at the same time, there's going to be scumbag Met fans hanging around, and you know those fat, flaggy New Yorkers that like to just come on down here. They're probably going to be hanging out at the casino, playing the slots all day. You know, getting grease all over the. You know, oh man, it's going to be
terrible,
disgusting,
terrible,
horrible human beings.
Chin strap beards all over the place, long jean shorts with white high tops.
Guts spilling out. It's
terrible. Yeah.
Belly button sweat. It's gonna be disgusting.
They are so similar to Knicks fans. You know, they're just so similar. Knicks fans might have a little bit more clothing on because they play in the wintertime, but not this. And oh my gosh, this Knicks. Thankfully, the Knicks run just ended. There. So anyway, you and I haven't talked. We've been on the big show, and you know, with leading up to the NFL draft, we've had Lito on a couple weeks, which has been great.
Speedo
Lito, that is right. And hey, Lito is saying that maybe we should auction him off, like some sort of auction off date for charity or something. I told him, dude. I don't know if you want us handling that, because
I can see it right now. Sam is coming hard. With her dad's credit card. Marilyn, I heard, was a big fan of Lito in the Dominican. And then on top of that, our good friend Lonnie Zimmerman, I know she's coming for Lito too, because if she thinks you're good looking, I can imagine what she thinks about Lito.
Oh yeah, and Lito's still ripped up and everything like that, even though he probably thinks he's out of shape. But so we just wanted to check in here. The NBA and NHL seasons are rolling to the end. We can always argue about baseball too, although we're more simpatico than not in that one. So we thought we'd check in before the playoffs start for the Sixers and before the playoffs. Oh, I'm sorry, it's an odd numbered year here, so the Flyers won't be making the playoffs.
Touche.
Let's talk. Wrapping up the seasons here, we'll talk again before the playoffs, and maybe we'll just hit Phillies. But NBA, real quick, you know, Sixers, really rough week for them last week. They lost four in a row. They lost to the Warriors, the Suns, and then the Bucks twice. A lot to take away from them. You know, they got hit with this injury bug, the mystery Ben Simmons illness, which, you know, Conspiracy Mike has other thoughts on that, but.
Do you believe it?
Well, Doc, this is what I'd say here is Doc didn't know really what was going on, and non-COVID illness. I mean, guys get sick, you know, I mean, they get the shits. They can't play for a game. I don't know, but it was just weird that it was for a week. I mean, what is it? Like, it's non-COVID related, so it's okay. But like, what is it then? Like, what people get sick and they might be like, hey man, I'm not feeling it today. I don't know. They eat weird stuff. They have all these protein intake stuff and they get the shits. That's usually when they say, something like that. I'm like, oh, you guys think you don't need me? Then I'm not going to go on the trip kind of thing, which is be like, you know, terrible and he'd be fined and everything. But the Sixers are so transparent, letting us know what's going on with the team and the players. You know, we'll never know. But even that said, let's just take him at his word. We could, you know, what we think it's true or not.
I just think it's convenient. It's so convenient. He sits there and he has that GQ interview where he talks about how he's the defensive player of the year. And then here comes the hottest shooter on the planet. And then two nights after that is his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend, Devin Booker. And then he decides to skip out and go into Milwaukee. I mean, really, who the hell wants to go to Milwaukee? But, you know, he skips out on Giannis for two games. I mean, it just I'm sorry, Diaz. Like, you know,
one thing I'll push.
It's a little convenient, and then he decides to come back magically last night against the overwhelming powerhouse that is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, Snake Silver better step in on Oklahoma City, because what they're doing is just a disgrace to the game and a disgrace to the fans. It's just absolutely terrible. They've only
done it for like 2 months. The Sixers did it for like 5 years.
I don't know. They got what, 15 first round picks in the next 5 years?
Oh, God.
Something like that, 40 total picks?
Yeah, you're following that jackass from WIP too much.
No, it's not him. I hear it on all of the national stuff. It's hilarious. Now, you're right. It's only 1 year, so we'll see. We'll see. But I'll say this. I don't think Simmons is avoiding play. I mean, he's played against all these guys in the past. He's played against Luka. He's played against Giannis. He's not avoiding matchups. He's not avoiding. I don't know what the reason for him sitting, but I don't think he was avoiding these guys.
It was a bad week to do so, Diaz. I get people get sick. I understand that. But it was a terrible week to do so. They lost four in a row. They dropped out of the top seed. They allowed the Bucks to crawl back in, you know, to have an opportunity at the top seed. And then maybe even catching them if they don't regain the top seed, that the Bucks will have the second seed and we'll be on the road in the second round in Milwaukee. It was a terrible week to have that happen. And whether it was malicious or not, whether he did it on purpose or not, it's a bad look. I mean, yeah,
I agree,
you know, and Bede, as much as I bash him, like I'm going to bash Doc Rivers here, because Bede played outstanding. The only reason why the Sixers were in those two games against the Warriors and the Suns was because of Embiid. He almost had that miraculous game-tying 3-point 67-foot heave across the court. Unbelievable.
That was in. It was in.
Right. But why was he playing the next night in Milwaukee when you didn't have intentions to play him on Saturday? Give him the night off, the second night of a back-to-back. Just take it. Doc said it was a scheduled loss, right? You know, when he looked at the schedule and he saw that they were coming off a back-to-back third game in four nights, Milwaukee was going to be off for three games. All right, dude, that's the night where you sit Tobias Harris and you sit Joel Embiid, you take your lickings and you save them for Saturday. And then at that point, you give your best effort to try and beat the Bucks on their home court and try and split a two-game set in Milwaukee. That's where Doc really lost me last week with his use of Embiid and Tobias. And Harris is out there limping around on Thursday. Well, for what? Why do you have him out there to begin with?
Forget about Thursday. The problem for me was playing against Phoenix. Phoenix is not a conference opponent. And schedule loss and all that stuff that people don't like. I mean, it's just a reality, and all the teams are doing this. Isn't a Sixer-centric thing.
No. I understand. Even the Nets are doing it.
All the teams are running through that. Beginning of the year, Boston's been like a full like third of their games players have missed. I don't think that their team is that much better than their record, but they had a ton of problems. Miami had a ton. All these teams. The Sixers have been relatively healthier than other teams, but you know, the Milwaukee series, right? If you win one and lose one, you don't gain or lose any ground going in, but
right,
the Phoenix game meant nothing, and you don't want to pass on games. But if you have two games coming up against one of the top of your conference opponents, first off, you can nail them and put a nail in the coffin on them and push them away. You win two of those games, but if you just win one, you lose no ground.
I agree.
And you know, playing against Phoenix, it's like, you know, I don't know. And the whole back-to-back thing, I heard this analogy. it came from a Ben Falk, who does Cleaning the Glass. He used to be a Sixers. But when you think about it, like people are like, oh, like I think what happens is there's an attitude or a thought that these guys are soft or wimpy. And it's not like a player just automatically sits out. It's a whole team thing. The player's involved in it. The player wants to play. Like Embiid probably wanted to play against Milwaukee. It's just like, why are you playing against Phoenix? You know, he kind of wants to prove people wrong, but it's like, health is more paramount. You're not winning the MVP. So take a sit down. But the idea is this, let's just say like, imagine this, how far can you run? I don't know. A 5K, 4 miles, 3 miles.
I've done it a couple times.
Okay. So you go and run a 5K today, go out and run a 5K. then tomorrow run a 5K, but beat your personal best time. Beat the time today. Is it possible? It's possible, but you're just going to be tired. And you and me running a 5K at 10-minute splits is a lot different than these pro athletes are still trying in the game. They're just going to be slowed down. Not to mention the fact, go run a 5K today, fly to Chicago, check into a hotel, get in some sleep, and then go run a 5K tomorrow the next day. It's just like guys are just going to be tired. It's true with hockey too. It's not every game. It's just over a long period of time. That's kind of what happens. And the NBA trying to squeeze these 72 games, all these dudes getting hurt, all the stars,
yeah.
All the stars are
they're definitely like, and that's why I'm upset with the Sixers for last week with losing four games in a row, because with all these stars getting hurt right now, James Harden just had a setback. And Steve Nash said that he's back to square one. So, like, we've seen hamstring injuries on players in this city. I mean, DeSean Jackson, as an example, like, they take a while to come back from.
Yeah, you don't heal until you sit down for the season.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Sixers' chances of getting to the NBA finals or the conference finals are so much better if they're in the one seed. And then you wind up getting a Nets team that is just Durant and Kyrie, not Durant, Kyrie, and Harden. I mean, I don't know when Harden's going to be back. I assume he's going to be back at some point in the playoffs. What's the point of playing the rest of the regular season? But if you get that top seed, and we've talked this at nauseam, Diaz, on both our show here and with the guys on Green Legion Radio, it's unbelievable to think that we had it in the palm of our hands. We pretty much had a game and a half lead, right? Because tiebreaker goes to us. Now we're behind a game and a half. So we need to get back into that driver's seat. And right now the Nets have the control. The Sixers schedule eases up here coming up. I know you know the schedule better than I do. I believe that their schedule the rest of the way is easier than what the Nets are going to be dealing with. But, it's the premise. Like, you had it there, in your grasp. You have the opportunity to where you're setting up playing the 8 seed who's going to have to go into a play-in tournament, and then they're going to get you. And then after that, you're going to get the Knicks or the Heat, right? I mean, they're the 4-5 as of right now.
The Knicks and the Hawks are right now.
Okay, so
might be Knicks Celtics. We'll say, yeah.
Whatever. I'll take that. I'll take that matchup. No matter what three teams it is, I'll take that matchup over having to face Milwaukee or the Nets in the second round. I mean, I don't want to say it's a walk to the conference finals, but it's as close as you're going to get.
Yeah, and again, you say losing four in a row is not good, but 1-3, none of this matters. So skip the Suns game, just skip it. You got to win one of those two Milwaukee games.
Right.
And other teams are doing it. It doesn't make it right. It's not fair to the fans. But really, what the problem is, the players are what they are. The Sixers still have three back-to-backs left in the season. But they do have, it's not over. They're only a game behind Brooklyn. Brooklyn still has Milwaukee twice. And their dudes are all banged up. So we've got the easiest schedule in the remaining of the league. We have 11 games left. Two against the Hawks this week. We play the Spurs and then a back-to-back in Chicago without Zach LaVine. Two against the Magic, who are just they traded away everyone they have. We've got Houston, who's lost 17 in a row at one point this year. Detroit, which is at the bottom. Indiana's just faded. We have Miami away on the 13th of May. So, I mean, listen, you can't lose it. I hear you. You're right. But at the most important thing is being healthy first, because, health is number one. Seeding is number two. But it doesn't mean you just pass it by. It just, I don't think they gave it up. It sounds like you think that they were, I think they mismanaged the roster last week. Listen, I don't think they didn't try.
But they were in two games. I mean, the Suns and the Warriors, they were in those games to the very end. Mm-hmm. But it's the fact of the matter is, if you are an elite level team, you can't drop those games. You can't drop four in a row at this point in the season. And I get what you're saying about, we can't think about the fans and all that stuff. Like, normally, Diaz, I'm about the fans, especially in the NBA. Because, like, you know, but when the NBA starts in mid-October and they end at the beginning of April, like, this schedule is daunting. It's a gauntlet this year. I mean, you start up right before Christmas. You're wrapping up right beginning of May. You're jamming in all these back-to-backs that you normally don't have to deal with in a regular NBA season. And I also look at it like this, Diaz. The reason why it upsets me a lot of times, like when these players decide for load management, we're going to take the night off of the back-to-back, is like, you know, being a dad, and like, I get it. Like, you buy tickets in advance for your kid for Christmas, right? Like, for your daughter eventually, and you know, by the time she's old enough to understand basketball, Luka Doncic is probably going to be the best player in the NBA, right? LeBron's not going to be there anymore. So you want her to go see Luka Doncic, or she is a big basketball fan. She wants to see Luka Doncic. You buy tickets for her for Christmas, right? And then it's like February 3rd is the day that you're going to take her to go see Luka Doncic in the Dallas Mavericks, right? And then the day of the game, and you get to the game, and Luka is sitting on the bench that night in his tracksuit for load management. Like, as a dad, that would upset you. Like, it's the one time out of the year you get to see Luka Doncic in Philadelphia, and he sits for load management. Like, but this year it doesn't matter. Kids shouldn't be going to games as it is anyway. There's only 3,000 fans here, 6,000 fans there. It's not packed houses. So, like, I don't care about that stuff. This year, get it done, get into the playoffs, make it happen.
Well, this is the other thing with that too, and I hear it's disappointing for the kid. It's disappointing.
It's disappointing for you too.
Well,
you've had your chance to see him, but you get my point though.
But I understand. See, this is how in the NBA especially, and we do this in the NFL with quarterbacks. It's like you win a Super Bowl or you suck. In the NHL, I understand winning isn't really important when we're grading players' legacy. It's wins don't really matter. We'll get to that later. Okay, winning games, you know, in playoff series doesn't really matter. But in the NBA, listen, I think that, like, something we were arguing about Embiid last year. You know, you were saying Giroux needs help to win. I'm like, yeah, everyone needs help to win. Pat Mahomes doesn't win it on his own. He needs Tyreek Hill. He needs Travis Kelce. Joel Embiid can't do it on his own. He needs other players as well. But in the NBA, because it's such a star-driven league, those guys take up most of the salary cap on the team. They are the stars. Generally, you need two or three stars on a team. They get more of the praise when they win, and they receive the bulk of the criticism when they lose. And it's making the regular season. Kevin Durant's played 5 games this year, like since January, you know, he's sitting the whole time. They're just like, we're going to sit this one out. The playoffs is all that matters, which is like, what are we even playing these games for? What are we even playing them for? Like, you know, like LeBron and AD are going to take their, well, AD just came back. LeBron's going to take his long time because he knows for his legacy and for what it means for him, for his bottom line, winning in the playoffs means more than Johnny and Julie's night out at the Sixers game. And that's just how it goes. And again, stats, advanced stats, analytics. They've got the tracking data on all these players. The Eagles do it in practice, but they have it during the games. And when you get to a certain level of energy, and I don't know, I'm not there. I'm not in the training staff. They have all these measurables. The likelihood of it doesn't mean they're definitely going to get injured. The likelihood goes up when these guys are fatigued. It's just what's happened. You overcompensate on one leg or the other, and all of a sudden you're Jamal Murray played 6 games in 9 days and tore an ACL. That doesn't mean if they sat him, he wouldn't have torn the ACL. It just means the likelihood goes up the more games you play in a shorter amount of time. So I hear, I mean, I'm thinking even way back 1992, maybe 93 or something like that. My 92, 93, my parents for me and my brother for Christmas, one of our gifts were, I was on the Shaq, cause he was awesome. So they gave us Magic. As a family, we were going to go see the Magic. My brother loved Larry Johnson, grandmama. So we were going to go see the Hornets. And when we went to go see the Hornets, he was out. And it was like, oh, but now he was like injured. It wasn't like these rest days.
Right.
But the point of the rest days are we're going to sit 4 games to make sure that I don't skip 15 games. That's kind of the idea. And it's not guaranteed. It's just, listen, this guy needs to rest his knees, needs to rest his legs. And it is what it is. It's just, It's just how the game is. We can make the same complaint in baseball. These guys don't go to the distance now. Now, if they get past the fifth inning, it's considered a quality start. Back in my day, relief pitchers only pitched the eighth or ninth inning. You know, it's just how it works now. We see it all the time. But for the Sixers, they're in second place in the East right now. It's not where they want to be. They're only a game behind the first seed. The first seed is where you want to be. It's the easier path, but you're going to have to beat the teams anyway that are in front of you. They've got an easy lineup coming up the last 11 games. A game against Miami would be tough on the road. They lost to the Pelicans already, who played no defense. That was an embarrassing loss a couple weeks ago. They play them next week. But the rest of the games are really – they really should just handle them all and not exert a whole lot of energy doing so. So who knows?
Do they have any back-to-backs left?
Yeah, they got three.
Three? Ooh, geez.
Yeah, this weekend they play – well, they play Atlanta Wednesday, Atlanta Friday at home. Then they go to San Antonio on Sunday and in Chicago on Monday. Then from there, they play at Houston, who's terrible. Let's see, what do we got here? At Houston. Then they play at home, a back-to-back next Friday, May 7th, against the Pelicans, and then home against Detroit. And then they play a couple days off at Indiana, at Miami, the next day home against Orlando. So
sit Embiid on Sunday against the Spurs. That way you give him a day off and play him against the Bulls on Monday.
Yeah, or vice versa. I don't think Chicago has Zach LaVine, and Atlanta doesn't have Trae Young. You still got to beat these teams.
Right. You know? I mean, whoever's out there, you have to win. I mean, there's still NBA players, and there's still NBA teams.
I mean, the first seed, everyone's feeling a lot better, but it's just moving into the Flyers here, and when I try to bury the Flyers and Claude Giroux specifically, I just take all the kind of comments that we reserve for the Sixers, which I 100% believe is just because it's always the anti-process guys. It's like, oh well, you haven't won a championship. It's like, what? Well, no one wins a champion. Look, we never win championships. I get it. I want to win a championship.
Who are you talking about?
Well, you know, like our friends at Green Legion Radio, the big guy that my partner.
Okay, if you're talking about me, I was actually on board with the process. I had no issue with the process after the whole debacle that was Andrew Bynum. I at that point I said all along, if you're not a top five NBA team or you're not a bottom five NBA team, you're not trying to win. Because it, like right in the middle there with those 20 other teams, when you're jumbled up into that crap, you have no shot at all. The more ping pong balls that you have, the more likelihood you are to get a franchise-esque player. If you're in the top five, you're like really in reality, 16 teams make the NBA playoffs, and there's, and I might be pushing it, five teams that have a legit chance of winning it. Right?
I would say
let's look at the East.
Okay, right? Let's look at the East.
So the East is the Sixers, the Nets, and the Bucks.
Right, but
you're not going to push anybody else in there.
Hold on for a second. Maybe not. Right, but I certainly think the Heat are better than a 500 team. They've had a terrible year. I don't think this is the year that they're going to make the finals. But the Heat are.
I'm talking legit chance. Like what? The Nuggets lost Jamal Murray. Right? So are they second or third in the West? Fourth. They're fourth now.
Let's just look at the East here. Like, do I think the Knicks are true contenders? No, I don't.
No.
But do I think that a team like Boston or Miami, maybe, God forbid, the Knicks, strike me down, or even Toronto, do I think that they have the ability next year, not this year, but next year, coming into this year?
Talking about this year, making it one in the playoffs.
I hear you, but we're at the end of the season here. At the beginning of the year, you would have said Brooklyn, Philly, Milwaukee, Boston, Miami, right? Boston, Miami, they got hit with the COVID bug. They had a ton of injuries. It just hasn't gone. And even Toronto, they are all the. You're right. It's at the end of the year, so we're going to start eliminating some teams. But you know, all those teams, I think next year could come back, and all I would consider all of them contenders in the East.
Well, it's good. I mean, Miami's a destination every single year. Pat Riley knows how to build a team. They have money, no state income tax, and it's South Beach. It's a destination. Right. You know, the Knicks right now, it's New York. Eventually, at some point, it's going to turn back into being a destination. I right now, the Brooklyn and the Nets are the destination. That's the place that people want to go. The Lakers, the Clippers, it's LA. It's glamour, it's glitz. People want to go there. You know, it takes like teams like San Antonio were lucky that they fell in all those years with guys that didn't want to follow the glitz and the glamour. They had simple-minded people and good like Christian men, like, you know, the Admiral and Tim Duncan. And, you know, Tony Parker coming over, like he got
and his they, well,
most in the Longoria, you know.
Most importantly, they won and they won a lot of championships. Right.
It was easy, yeah, and, I mean, but it was easy to sustain that run because of, like, you know, those players weren't longing to go anywhere else, right? Like,
right. So,
like, you know, Chicago, when Michael Jordan was there, it was a destination. Chicago's a great city during the summertime, but it's not in the wintertime when basketball season's going.
It's so big, though. Player, I mean, it's got to be considered a It's more of a destination than something like Cleveland, Detroit.
Chicago Orlando. Is like us. It's a top five media market, sports yeah. market in the country. You have New York, LA, I believe it's Chicago, then it's yeah. Philadelphia or Dallas, Fort Worth, and vice versa.
Like Phoenix,
those are the big like media conglomerates when it comes down to like sports media.
Well, let's back to your question here. Okay, sure. In the East, there's three top teams, and we expect it to one of those three teams to be in there.
Right.
In the West, you've got Utah, Phoenix, Clippers, Denver, Lakers. I mean, that those are five strong teams. Denver, probably you'd think not as much, but all those teams, they've all got a shot. They've all got a legitimate shot. If who knows if LeBron and AD stay healthy throughout a whole playoff series. Really they just came off it.
Yeah, I really hope the Suns have a shot. I like Chris Paul. I'm a fan of Chris Paul's. He's that guy now that's been like the longest tenured, like him and what Melo, like they've been around the longest, no rings, you know, like, you know, it sucks, man. Like as an NBA player, like, you know, like that's the reason why Durant left Oklahoma City. I know his relationship with Westbrook was on ice, but if they didn't blow that 3-1 series lead in the Western Conference Finals that year to the Warriors, they would have won the NBA Finals, and Durant never leaves Oklahoma City. So, like, you know,
that's why this is going back to the whole championship or bust thing. I mean, it's different so on how people perceive NBA, and even like the six. This is no defense of them, but like, or good or bad, but it's just like they lost to the Raptors on a last second bounce. In a game seven on the road, like, and it's like they can't get past the second round. You're like, all right, man, you are absolutely true. That is right. It's not like they're not getting swept out. Like they lost on a last second shot to the finals MVP, to the eventual champion. There is no consolation prize. Right. We don't get a parade for that. We don't put up a banner for that. But it's like, man, you tell me they were that far away? Were they that far away? Now, if they go out and let's say they get the second seed and get swept by the Bucks, there's going to be a whole new reevaluation going on, or there should be, to see what went wrong. I think we're all in agreement here. The Sixers need to get the one seed. We need a little bit of help. We got to win all of our remaining games, and we've got to have someone knock off the Nets for a game or two.
Yep.
We've got the tiebreaker. We've got an easy schedule the next 2 weeks with five games next week, two here, seven. I mean, they really should go 8 or 9-0 without Max, you know, get tighter, get into the playoffs healthy. It just would have been nice to be able to sit Embiid. You could rotate the guys tonight. Embiid sitting tomorrow. Harris is sitting the next day, you know, and rotate around. So, let's hope the next time that we talk, they're back in that one seat and we're good to go. But okay, we're at 35 minutes here. Man, you got to tell me here. Like, I bought into the you understood the process and were willing. I don't. You and I weren't friends back then, back in 2013. But I assume that what you mean is you were willing to wait to see if it worked. That's all I was. I was like, listen, yeah. There's no guarantee that this is going to work. There's no guarantee that anything's going to work. There's no guarantee, you know, they're going to try right. to have an ongoing contender, which is technically, this is why when we argue about have they won a championship, I'm like, the idea was kind of to always be in the mix for a long time, and then you get the couple right pieces, you get a couple good trades, a couple good signings, and some good coaching, some health, and some luck. Maybe you get to win a championship. But the idea is really to be, you know, top three seed in the – this year they're the first seed. Next year they drop to the fourth. Then they're the second. Then they're the first. Then they're the third. Then they're the, like, you're always kind of in it, and then with all those extras that come in, you know. You could be a three seed – but your guys were weren't healthy, and then they're coming back. But I'm seeing, and you got to be frustrated because you are like, you know, you Phillies, you live and die with the Phillies, and you live and die, you bleed orange and black with the Flyers, and it's like, for all the excitement that the Flyers faithful get, like, they're in the same position that the Sixers were in 2013. Where I'm sick of this. I would rather go for it and flame out than this, you know, the seesaw, the wheel of mediocrity that we keep spinning on. You've got to be just immensely frustrated. And I don't know what the solution is for them. You know, like, I hope, we'll talk about Hart. I hope they didn't ruin him forever. I'm sure he's got the talent to come back. He's going to have to get readjusted. But come on, man. Like, what is going on with these guys? Like, make it, just give me three consecutive years where, let's just say this, They win one round one year. They win the second round the next year, and then they win round. Like, just make the playoffs 3 years in a row.
Yeah, listen, they've made a lot of mistakes over the last like 8 years. I read Mike Cielsi's column a couple weeks ago, you know, where he was kind of breaking down on, you know, with the things like he kind of labeled it as a mistake to sign Giroux to the deal that they signed him to, and really if you look at contracts based off of, like, you know, superstars and like the money that they make, Giroux's $8 million cap hit is really nothing in the NHL. I mean, you look at Taves and Kane, who are both making 12, I believe. What have the Blackhawks done since they got their mega deals? They've squired away in mediocrity because they couldn't afford the same guys that were helping them win those championships. Eventually injuries catch up. Corey Crawford and Seabrook, you know, like guys like that, they lose them over the course of time. And then you're trying to build up a farm system that you were trading away pieces to bring in so you could try and compete for more cups with your core players. The big mistake to me, and I hate saying this because I like him as a player, is Jake Voracek, which you practically gave him the same length of a contract and the same cap hit. And that was money that was not well spent. He's had a good career with the Flyers, but he was not worth that level of cap hit. There's been a lot of players this year that have regressed, that have taken steps back. Sanheim and Myers have been brutal, absolutely brutal. Provorov has been up and down. Gostisbehere has been okay. He's an offensive defenseman. If you get him with a really good defensive defenseman, maybe things will change. Their forward core, Konechny's has taken steps back. Kevin Hayes has taken steps back. Carter Hart as our franchise goaltender. Mind you, he's going to turn 23 in August. So, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and write a guy off after a season like this. I'm just not going to do that. But this team, I read an article earlier, when your best player is 33 years old, Claude Giroux, that's a problem. He's not the problem. It's just a problem that he's the best player. When you were relying on all these kids to take the mantle and take the next step, And none of them have. Like, really, the Flyers' best players have been Giroux, Couturier, JVR, and Voracek, which is the same core that we practically had for the last 8 years. Nothing has changed because the young players have not taken the next step. And every year we sit here and we hold on to these prospects and we go, oh, well, can't wait until Morgan Frost gets here, and can't wait until Cam York gets here. Well, like, eventually at some point along the line here, like, you need to, I think they say, shit or get off the pot, right? So you need to know deep down, are these players going to be able to get here and contribute and be all-star level players? Because that's what you need to win. And we don't have that. Like, even some of these young kids, as good as we thought they were going to be, I mean, listen, it's hard to try and, like, evaluate these players this year. I think in any sport, it's tough to try and evaluate them. We have a short condensed season, 56
same
games,
opponent,
same opponents, yeah. Over and
no
over
travel,
again. Yeah, you know, it's just like it's tough to sit here and say, oh, well, Travis Konecny's not who we thought he was going to be, or Provorov is who he's going to. So, like, you know, I really want to see it unfold next year, but like, it's so tough to sit here as a Flyers fan and look at this, you know, this whole dynamic and not be frustrated by it, because like, I thought we all kind of had hopes that this team was going to get into the playoffs. And then, you know how I feel about the NHL playoffs, man, it's like rolling the dice. Let's see where it goes. Anybody can win. The Flyers almost won it all as a 7 seed back in 2010, you know, but like, we need to see it come to fruition. And if you don't think that these players, you got to kind of do what the Phillies did and during the run, like, how many of the players out of all those deals that they made for Halliday and Cliff Lee and Pence and, you know, how many of those players ever became anything? Carlos Carrasco and Travis d'Arnaud. And it took d'Arnaud like 8 years to become something. So it's like, you know, if you don't think that these players are going to become what you want them to, you have to kind of trick another team to take them on and get a proven player to bring in. They need to, they need a defenseman. Bad, like you know, I'm not gonna say Chris Pronger because they don't grow on trees, but you need a certain level of player like that, like a Kimmo Tiiminen type player, type defenseman, like really, really good, that can come in here and make a difference with these young kids back there. A good stabilizing veteran defenseman. And I know that they have some guys that are down there right now in the minor leagues that can score, Wisdom, Forrester, but until I see another guy that can come up here, like, the Flyers have had guys that have been scoring 30 goals. I don't think they've had anybody score 40 goals since Jeff Carter. They haven't had anybody score 50 goals since John LeClair. So it's like, you know, and that was 20 years ago. So like, we need to take the next step here. Actually, no. Well, Gagne and Carter, they were 40s. Gagne never got to 50, but
Briere?
Briere was always, he was a decent regular season player, but when the playoffs came, he was lights out. He was Mr. Clutch. He was Captain Playoffs. But, you know, it's tough. Like, those, all those years you had Hartnell and Wayne Simmonds that were scoring 30 goals a year. But like, you have these guys, and I said to you earlier, like, if you, you know, because when you were breaking my stones about Giroux and his assists and all that stuff, like, he's
secondary
up there
assists.
He's up there with Nicklas Backstrom and Sidney Crosby. And Crosby is one of the greatest players of all time. I hate the Penguins and I hate Crosby, but you have to say that. And Backstrom had the benefit of playing alongside Alexander Ovechkin, who's probably going to break Wayne Gretzky's career mark for goals scored in the NHL. But it's tough, man. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm disappointed in a couple weeks that we're not going to be there. I was hoping to have, you know, a couple nice runs between the Sixers and Flyers, but I'd be lying to you and saying that, you know, but hey, I'm ready. You know, I'm now moved on to Phillies and baseball brunch, and we have the draft on Thursday, and then the Sixers, and they're going to be in the playoffs. So
it is, it's disappointing because the playoffs are good. And a couple things, I think with the Sealski article you're talking about, it was a mistake to sign Giroux, and I get what you're saying. The production, I interpret it more as, if you're going to pay these two guys the most money, they got to produce more than they are, even if they're good. Now,
I don't think it's possible for Giroux to do any more than he did.
I don't know, man. He scored 24. He's led the league in playoff points in 2010 when he was a second liner and he was 22 years old. And since then, that's all he scored a total of 20. Like, he's disappeared. Like,
I get that.
And you're right. They do need other players. Needs other players.
The level of talent since that 2010 team has continually gone down over the last decade. And he's had to throw this team on his back. Hextall, here's the thing that Hextall never did that Hinkie did, okay? Because Hinkie realized that this team sucked. It was terrible. It was trash. We need to throw out every valuable commodity that we have. We're going to cash them in. We're going to bring in younger players. We're going to see what they can do. And then, oh, God, Michael Carter-Williams, rookie of the year, we're trading
He's
you
not
away.
Good. Right. It's just it's empty calories.
Yeah. Right. So, like, you know, but Hextall rebuilt our farm system. Now, we'll see how good this farm system is as these players continue to progress or regress or however, which way it goes. But Hextall, no matter what he did, he kept the team competitive enough to where they would make the playoffs. They didn't really have a shot when they got there. Like, and that's the thing when you look at it, like in 2010, that team was an underachieving team all season. It took them until the last game of the season. It took them until the shootout against the Rangers. They got into the playoffs and then they hit their stride and they got into it.
The Boston series. Yeah.
2011. They got swept by the Bruins in the second round. They struggled with the Sabres in the first round. 2012, Giroux was just on fire in the first round against the Penguins. Him and Crosby going back and forth. And then they lost 4 out of 5 against the Devils in the second round. And then since then though, like 2014, they ran into the Rangers. They lost in 7 games. The Rangers went to the Stanley Cup Finals that year. And they had Henrik Lundqvist. 2016, the Capitals were the best team in the whole league that year. We lost in 6 in the first round. 2018, it was the second year of the back-to-back for the Cup with the Penguins, who you got in the first round. And then 2020, we lost to the Islanders and in the bubble. So
I feel the one thing, and I hate to it's just because we do this with everyone else. We're not fair to the Eagles. We're not fair to the Sixers. In a lot of cases, we're not fair to the Phillies.
I'm about bashing the Flyers. I got no problem with it. We're bashing the wrong player.
He's been the consistent part.
He's the only reason why this team's been relevant.
But they're not relevant. That's the point. See, that's what I'm saying. They're not relevant. They're not. They're the Charlotte Hornets. They are. They're the Chicago Bulls of the last decade. They are. They're not relevant. You as a Flyers fan, they're relevant. It's just like,
I agree.
They're relevant, but they are not relevant to the conversation. And you're right. They had a really good team and they didn't replace him once Giroux and Voracek kind of came and Couturier, 7-8 years ago when they were going to be the new core and they didn't kind of replace the pieces around them. And then they said, we're going to shut it down. We're going to build the farm system back out. But those leaders, that's why, I don't think that Giroux wouldn't expect him. It's not fair to say he hasn't won a championship. He's not one of the greatest players in franchise history. But there is something to your great players being the leaders. Like you say, Briere, regular season, nothing. But he turned it on for the playoffs, man. And Giroux's absent in the playoffs. And it could be because of defense, and he's the only one they have to play against. But then you know what? This guy's that's why I said 5 years ago, they should just trade him and get pieces that are going to work around this core because
he had a no movement clause.
No, I understand. I understand that, but it can be done. I mean, it's not, you could make it very uncomfortable. The players do it plenty of times, but it's just like, listen, we think it'd probably be better if he was playing for a contender in Tampa Bay and we took Tampa Bay's 3 first round picks for the next 3 years or something. I don't know how the trades work, but he's been the consistent part of all of this. And there is, and it, with this year, I watch more Flyers this year than I did last year. And the one thing that's been true is that's generally not true. They've had a lack of skill. This year, there was a lack of focus and a lack of heart. Now, they were weak on the defensive line, but you just saw so many stupid mental errors that even me, non-skilled in the game, you could see passes across the middle of the ice, not clearing it. You're like, what are these guys doing here?
Is that the captain or is that the coaching?
It could be the coaching, but this is now the fourth coach since he started as being the captain.
Alain Vigneault said the other night after the Flyers came back because Giroux scored 2 goals in the last minute and a half to get them into overtime. Okay. And then they won in the shootout. He said that the one constant thread that has been during the course of the season is the 100% compete that the captain has had every single night. That's the one thing that has not lagged this whole entire season.
He can say that, but you know what? We've been here for nine years. And it's like, okay, so then his drive is so strong and he tries hard, so hard, and it goes nowhere. It goes nowhere.
It's like we've talked about on Twitter today, and we talked about off air before we came on here. There's only so much that you can do with what you are given. Okay. This is the 6th year of Connor McDavid. Okay. In Edmonton, 6th year. All right. He's won 1 playoff series. This guy destroys it in the regular season. He has a top 3 to 5 teammate across the board. Okay. They have 2 of the top 5 players in the NHL, him and Leon Draisaitl. Okay. And they can't even get out of their own way. They're going to lose again in the playoffs this year because they don't have the structure. They don't have the goaltending. Their organization continues to make dumb decision after the dumb decision. It's just like the Flyers. Like, if anything that has stood out on this team over the last decade has been Claude Giroux. There is nothing else that has stood out about this team.
They're not making the playoffs.
Well, I understand they're not making the playoffs. But you're pointing the finger at the wrong person.
Well, I'm saying this. At some point, we can blame Donovan McNabb was a one seed every single year and hosted three straight NFC Championship games, and we blamed him for losing all of them. It was him. Joel Embiid goes for 30.
And that's unfair because he's the quarterback.
Joel Embiid goes for 30-13 against the Celtics and gets swept because he has a terrible roster, but it's on him. I'm not going to say it's not on him.
No, it wasn't on him. It was on Brett Brown. He's the one that fell on. He got fired.
Point taken, but at some point here, it's like, man, this guy's just been an angel. He has been so great here. He's been so good. They haven't won anything, but that's not like at some point your best players in franchise history translate to wins. And it's like, well, he's the only one that's been able to make to win. And you're like, really? He's at his best when he was like the second line guy. He wasn't their best player.
The team was at its best. The team collectively was at its best.
And he was too.
Because no. Look at the numbers. Look at the statistics over the course of his time, his years. Okay. When all those guys were gone, that was when he was finishing fourth in MVP, top three in MVP, finishing fourth in MVP.
I get you.
With none of those guys around. The thing was, is those guys had to leave. They had, when they unloaded Richards and they unloaded Carter. Now, mind you, they went on to win two Stanley Cups with the Kings, but they weren't like Richards was the captain here and everything fell on his shoulders. Right. Well, the reason why they traded him away is because he couldn't sustain that. Then they saw what was coming with him and he got traded away to LA and then Carter wound up with him eventually, all the problems that Richards wound up having later in his career.
So just pausing here and, substance abuse and it's no joke and all that stuff.
No, absolutely.
That's kind of my point. They saw you're saying that like, and Richards, he couldn't, but like at some point here, that's kind of what I'm trying to say here is, yes, I don't think Claude Giroux should win a championship and win a series on his own, but at some point, like he led them back last week. Great. He had two goals and a shootout goal on a lost season. And, hey, listen, those stats count, but like, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything.
Those teams at the beginning of his career, those teams were loaded with talent. Right. And they had Peter Laviolette as the head coach, right? So you have Richards, Carter, Gagne, Pronger, Matt Carl, Colburn, Tiedemann. Like, it didn't matter who the hell was playing goal that year. That team was structured so well. They lost that year because their third defensive pairing. Every time that they put their third defensive pairing out, here came a goal. But, and I'm reading what Russ says here. Doesn't hold his teammates accountable for dumb plays. He tries to lead by example. No. Seriously, the thing is, there's only so much you could try and hold them accountable for. Vigneault is the one that holds them accountable.
Like, listen, you're saying Vigneault. I don't think he's a bad player. I don't think he's bad. And I don't think that he's not – you're saying he's a top five player. I'm saying he is Vigneault should hold him. Okay. Then it was Hackstall. Then it was Laviolette. And who else was in there? I'm missing one of them.
You're missing Craig Berube.
Craig Berube in there. And it's like all these different coaches here. It was all on them. And it was all these players around them. And it was all this. It was, they didn't have a goaltender. They didn't have a farm system. They didn't have this.
No.
He has been here. He sets the example. He is the leader. The worst decade in Flyers history, what's been the constant? I'm not saying that he stinks and he sucks. It's just at some point your top five player is bringing the franchise with him. And I'm not saying to a championship game or every year they go to a conference finals. It's just they're not like perpetually at 36 wins every single year.
Sidney Crosby had Evgeny Malkin and Christopher Letang, as Pierre Maguire would like to call him. Okay. Then you had in Chicago. Okay. You have Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith. Okay. You have great teams that have been winning cups with great players.
I get you.
I'm pluralizing that.
Top five players. Transcendent.
Transcendent is Mike Trout. Mike Trout has played in three playoff games his whole career.
That's right.
Three. Hold on. Is he supposed to transcend the trash that is the Angels organization?
If he got a third of the pitches a game, yeah, he should. If he got to hit a third, he only gets four at bats a game. Giroux plays 22 minutes a game. He plays a third of the games.
And how often does he touch the puck when he's on the ice?
I don't know. There's probably a stat on that.
No, yeah, probably. But it's almost the equivalent of being like Mike Trout can affect the game nine innings defensively, and when he gets to the plate, that's where he can affect the game.
My question is this. Here's my question. Claude Giroux is a good player. One of the best players in statistically on their thing. He's a top five player. What at some point you just like what's frustrating is like he's been here this whole time. He's overseen, if you want to say that, the worst stretch in Flyers history. They have lost the relevancy in town. They used to be probably, I don't know, number two. Phillies and I mean they're
that's his fault.
It's not his fault exclusively. It's not his fault exclusively, but he is the captain. He doesn't have to be a captain. If he's a captain, he's leading the team. What are you leading the team to?
So if that little letter that is sewn onto his sweater, okay? So if that letter was sewn onto Sean Couturier instead for the last decade and Giroux has had the career that he's had. So you mean to tell me that would make you think differently because of some stupid little letter that's sewn onto a sweater? Well,
I would say that he disappears in the play. I think all the things that were true, but I would say what's he do for this team? First off, I'd ask if he has this type of production, I could see why he's not captain because he doesn't lead, but he can't lead the players around him because he vanishes in the playoffs. I mean, I could make a reason why he's not captain. I mean, this is all hypothetical. I'm just saying here, at some point, the captain is the captain because he's in charge of the team. I don't think that the Flyers' decade of malaise has been 100% on his fault. There's what, a 22-man roster or something like that? I don't know the roster, 24-man. I don't know how many players there are.
So if Jonathan Toews was on this team, probably the greatest captain of the last 20 years in the NHL. Okay, you take Jonathan Toews off – well, let's pluck him. All right. Let's put him over here and let's drop him down. Okay. Back in 2007 when he was drafted, but let's just pluck him out and let's put him right in here in Philadelphia. Do the Flyers win a Stanley Cup over the last 13 years?
I don't know.
Are they in the conference finals?
I don't know. I think that you're saying he's one of the best leaders and best captains of all time or of the last 20 years because they won games.
He was surrounded by talent.
I understand that, but they won game like
they won games because they had an all-time great coach in Joel Quenneville. They had Patrick Kane, one of the best players of the last decade, who's actually one of only three players that has scored more points in the last decade than Claude Giroux.
I get you, but I'm just saying at some point the top five players in your franchise history equate to wins, unless you're like the Padres and Tony Gwynn is your best
to play
with. Tony Gwynn is the best player in Padres history because they don't really have a history.
Give him something to play with.
Have a history. The Flyers had four decades of consistent winning, and then since Giroux became the captain and has been the leader of the team for a decade, they've been irrelevant in the league and in town.
You want to know why they had as much relevancy as they had? Okay, what really killed the Flyers and their momentum was when they had the lockout, and then when they came back from it, they had a thing called the salary cap, and the Flyers and the Rangers were always the heavy spenders when it came, and the Red Wings at the time, they were the heavy spenders in free agency and making trades. And that was the big thing. That's the reason why the Flyers had so much relevancy all those years, because Ed Snyder could open up his pocketbook and it didn't even matter. He could do whatever the hell he wanted. He could sit there and just be like, oh, cool. All right, the Rangers are spending $95 million. We'll spend $80. And he did it really damn well. And then when they had to make the changes after that, then they got sort of good with it for a few years with Holmgren, but then Holmgren really started making dumb decisions with the money. And then everything, then we, like when Hextall took over, when he took over, it was just like we were so cash strapped with the cap. It took him 3 years even for us to have money to spend out in free agency. And then by that time, it's like, you know,
yeah, it's
a frustrating situation.
Well, yes. Here's the thing. Like, again, we don't have to blame the decade, but like now, is it time to do a complete reset with this team? I mean,
no.
Is it time? Voracek?
No. I think there's a couple pieces that you should move. You know, because coming up here this offseason, you have the expansion draft because you're right. Bringing in the Seattle Kraken.
Right.
So, you know, you get to only protect, I think, seven? It's 10 players.
10? Okay.
I think it's 10 players. But, I mean, like, if you look at it, you're going to protect Carter Hart. And then you like, I think the way I've seen it laid out is the Flyers would look to protect like six forwards, three defensemen, and one goalie, or you can protect. Actually, I don't even think actually, you have to protect Hart. I don't think you have to protect
this. I think you're right though. You can only protect a certain amount of forwards and a certain amount of defensemen. Like you can't have, you couldn't, if you wanted to hold 10 but forwards and zero defensemen, it's not like that. You have to hold,
But it's like, you know, are you gonna bring back three defensemen? You're gonna bring back four defensemen.
Right.
It depends on like certain contracts, like Farabee. Like you don't have to protect Farabee like as one of your six forwards if that's the case. Like so, like you don't have to protect him. So like they're going to. I'm telling you right now, JVR is probably going to be going to the Kraken, which is gonna. When they take that contract off your hands, that's going to free up about $6-7 million in cap space. Like I said, the Flyers have to bring in a franchise changing defenseman. I think that's the first domino to fall because you have to restructure this defense in some sort of way. And then at that point, you know, I think they're going to continue to run with what they have at forward, but I would look to make a change. I would look to see if anybody wants to take Voracek for his last 2 years of his contract. As much as I like Kevin Hayes, I would see if you can move him. I think he has a no movement clause too. I'm not 100% sure on that. I know the Flyers have two guys on the team that have a no movement clause, but they have to make some changes. And this is the last year of Claude Giroux's current deal. So he wants to finish his career in Philadelphia. But if he's going to come back, obviously, and he's going to stay here, it's not going to be at an $8 million cap.
Right. Anymore. Which this is how we got into this whole thing because there's all these people between. This is all your fault because you tagged me in that.
I dragged you into this.
There was plenty of people though that said there, I saw that some of these top fivers, but most people had them there like somewhere between 8 and 20.
No, it was most people were top five.
Well, they're
one dude that looked like fat bastard that said, you're no cops.
They're not interested. Yeah. I get it. They're not interested in winning hockey. You know, they'll pay attention to, you know, the Birds and the Sixers got to win.
I think
Flyers don't have to win anything though
I think that's false. I think in a lot of our eyes, you know, Flyers fans, realistic Flyers fans, is the one thing that you can truly appreciate over the last decade because there's not a lot. Diaz, I'm telling you right now, I will admit wholeheartedly, there is not a lot to be proud of as a Flyers fan over the last decade. Period. Very little. Minuscule. But the one guy that you take pride in is his Claude Giroux, the longest tenured athlete in Philadelphia right now. You know, for better or for worse, and the guy has always given us everything that he has, no doubt about it.
Except leadership. But otherwise,
no, the leadership is there. It's just, you know, leadership only takes you so far, man. Like, you know, a lot of these players, man, like you need to have talent around you to get the job done.
I agree. It's true in every sport.
And it's a special ingredient of talent. Like sometimes certain players, for as great as they are, they just don't mesh. They don't work together. It's like when AI got traded to Denver and he was playing with Melo, right?
I mean, last year with the Sixers.
Yeah.
This team has, they have all this talent, but it's just not, it was like a clunker. It was just a big clunker.
Right. Like, how about the Lakers the 1 year in 2004? You brought in Gary Payton Karl Malone. And yeah, they got to the NBA finals, but they didn't win at all. Didn't work. Like that year you had Kobe going through the whole thing with the rape case
and Shaq left the next year.
Yeah, it just sometimes things just don't work for as great as you think they will. And the Flyers haven't even had those kind of complimentary pieces to put alongside him. He's had decent ones, Voracek, Simmons, Couturier, good players, but they're not Nick Backstrom and Evgeny Malkin and Letang and, you know, Patrick Kane and Taves. Like, things are just different. If you were paired with those type of players, and he had some of those players early in his career, but then Teeman got older and Hartnell's contract became, you know, too much and they had to unload that. And then before you fell into the dominant years of the contracts with Richards and Carter, you had to unload them. And then Ed Snyder stepped in and demanded that you got a goaltender. And then they brought in Brizgalov. And that was a complete train wreck. He's our Bobby Bonilla. We're going to be paying him until 2027. So it's like, you know, like we've made so many dumb decisions that have strapped the team.
Pronger
getting hit in the eye with the puck, you know, in 2011, which ended his career. Like, you know, if we would have had Chris Pronger from 2009, 2010 to like 2010, 2011, if we had that Pronger for another 4 years, who knows? Things might have been different, but you know,
that's the way it goes. That's things why happen. The games, you got to stay healthy. Well, I think this is a good time to wrap it up here. I will not be top five flyer.
Top five?
No. Drew is not a top five.
Where's he at in your
room? I don't know. I'll have to look at my list, list.
Do your homework. Do your homework.
I understand that winning wins do not matter on this thing. It's like pitchers now. We don't count winning games. I get it.
Hey, but while we're at it, Diaz, I just want to put this out there real quick to our listeners. I know earlier we were talking about Chickies and Pete's. And they're looking to hire. National Construction Rentals is looking to hire as well. We're looking to hire fence installers. So please give me a call at the office at 610-623-6860. And you can come in and get an interview with me. And you can work for me. I'm the regional manager there in Philadelphia. So come work for me.
Hey, you guys, you get a great job. You just have to work with Sack and listen to him to defend Claude Giroux for the rest of your goddamn life. Ah, luckily, you'll be on site installing fences and not inside the office with Sack. But good point. Good time to go out for this Ice to Shorts Winter Sports. We'll get back together before the playoffs.
Who's the Eagles picking? Who are they picking on Thursday night, Diaz?
You know, now I'm thinking it's going to be one of these defensive ends, but I'm going to stick with J.C. Horn. He's going to be the second corner off the board. I think that's where they're going to go. Well, who do you got? Who did you pick? You picked Surtain, right? Well,
I wanted to pick Surtain, but he was, I believe Tank took him. Lito took him right before
Lito,
me. So my money in, you know, for us is for Jalen Waddle, but I really want Surtain. I just don't want to move off of 12. I don't want to give up any of our draft capital. Like if you have to give up a second to get the Denver spot at 9, I'm not doing it. I don't want to give up one of our third round picks to get up there. If you can get him at 12, get him at 12. Best player at 12, no doubt.
All right. Well, so we got a special Green Legion radio schedule this week. We're going to be recording Friday and Sunday live after baseball brunch. This is what we got. 2 more weeks of baseball brunch at live. No, 3 more weeks at baseball Live Casino. So check out Sack there. Please, if you guys can, go to the iHeartRadio mobile app. Subscribe, download, follow, rate, review. That helps us out. Thank you to Bud Light. Go Sixers. Go Phillies. Flyers, we'll see you next year. Have a good night, Sack. I'll talk to you on the other. Peace.